This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All frozen with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Happy opening day for the Portland Trailblazers.
Hey, you'll love to see it.
Is it happy?
Let's go. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It
Debbie
is
Downer
happy.
Mode today.
No, I'm going to have none of that, Jeff Rust. This is the happiest time of the year. Yeah, dude, Downer Rust over here. No, this is the happiest time of the year for the Blazers because this is like being a Cleveland Indians fan from the movie Major League.
It's the start of Tankathon 2024.
But hope springs eternal. You enter every year with the optimism that it might not be as bad as we think it will be, right?
No, but we need it to be worse than we think it will be.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Danny, help us with this. How do we handle this? I think I'm on the right page here. You can be optimistic at the beginning of the year, but we all know what the end game is going to be, right?
I mean, I wouldn't be optimistic at the beginning of the year because it kind of defeats any purpose. Like,
dang.
The way that I have framed this is you cannot judge this season on wins and losses.
Bingo.
That's not what you do.
Well, I'm going to judge it on wins and losses if they go up and manage to screw up the season and go win 28, 29 that's not, games.
That's the thing. Every time somebody says this, I'm like, what would lead you to believe that's going to happen? What has happened the past two years? Was it 1-22 down the stretch last year? Like,
yeah.
Buddy.
Well, yes. At that point, they understood the assignment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the team that won the lottery had a 3% chance of winning it. At the 10th best odds. Like, they're going to do what they need to do, but sometimes it's not going to go your way. That's just the reality. It sucks. It sucks that this is, like, what they have to do, but this is where they're at because it's the only way they're going to get that dude.
Now, okay, here is where my questions start coming in. You said, what gives us the reason and the hope that it won't be like that, or the reason why people should be optimistic. It's because, I mean, you look at the starting five, you look at, you know, it does appear that Shaedon Sharpe is trending in the right direction towards coming back, and you go, it doesn't look like a roster that's one of the worst in the entire NBA. It looks like a roster that could win, you know, 25, 28 games, whatever that may be. But then you have to take what you say there, and that's not going to be the goal. And we haven't seen have we ever seen Jeremy Grant finish a season?
No, he has not played a game in March for the Trailblazers.
Okay, in that if it starts looking like it's going to be heading in that direction, then that happens.
And not only that, I mean, there's a pretty sizable chance that Jeremy is traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
So it's like it's all of these things that are, number one, they play 28 of their first 31 games are against the Western Conference.
Is the Western Conference good, Danny?
Yeah, it's going to be really good. And I've seen a bunch of models that have like a lot of compressed win totals for the NBA.
I don't know what that means.
So like this is your Vegas models for how many teams or how many games a team is going to win, right?
All right.
What those models don't factor in is the tank factor. It's the sweepstakes because it happened with Wemby, it's going to happen with Cooper, and it's going to happen next year with AJ DeBonta. We kind of went a couple cycles, and I think COVID had a lot to do with this, and like stifled development and kind of how things shook out. There hasn't been guys.
The G League ignite.
Yeah, and I think a big part of this is that you're getting like a couple generational prospects in a row with Wemby, with Cooper, and with AJ DeBonta, and because of that, I've talked to probably half dozen, maybe more, front office execs around the league about Cooper just kind of heading into the season. And everybody always wants to hedge there. Well, you know, somebody else could jump up. But then you get have you seen that kid? Have you seen this kid? Like, and it's like, they all want to play coy and like hide their hand. Like, oh, you know, they want to pretend that he's not that guy and that – organizationally, they're not going to just spiral down a hole to go get him, but they are. There's going to be 10 teams that come mid-February go, screw this.
Yeah.
And they're just going to try to get there. And then what's going to happen is there's going to be like a team or two in each conference that goes, crap, we can't catch them. We're going to be stuck in the play-in. So, all right, let's ratchet this back up and then try to figure this out. So, and that's always going to be the Clippers because the Oklahoma City Thunder control their pick. So they can't go down the crapper.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting this year, and we have plenty of basketball to talk about today. We get to make our picks.
Yeah, we'll do season picks today.
We're going to go 82 games. That's a win. That's a loss. That's a loss.
That I can't do. No, okay.
I can see them winning this game. I can see them losing this game.
Who knows?
Again, if you're wondering how the Blazers start, besides the 28 opponents that are in the Western Conference in the first 31, they have 5 games in 7 days to open up the season.
Oh.
It's coming fast and furious.
Yeah, that does track because next Friday they play the Oklahoma City Thunder at home.
Mm-hmm.
They will have 5 games before they return home. 2 of them are going to be on the road. They start tonight, obviously, Golden State Warriors in Moda. Then they have a back-to-back with the Pelicans.
Pelicans. Still don't have a center.
Really?
Still don't have a center on the roster.
Look, who's going to be playing center for him?
Zion?
Like, they honestly do not have one on the roster right now?
They signed, oh, God, what's his name? Big white guy. Played in Boston. God dang it.
Joe Klein.
No. Undersized big. God.
Brian Scalabrine.
That's not it.
No.
That's not it.
Tice. Are you sure?
Daniel Tice.
Daniel Tice?
Yeah. That is the literal only center on their roster among active players. They have a two-way in Trey Jameson, who is also a big. But otherwise, yeah.
I'll be damned. They have listed Hubert Jones as their starting center. He's 6'7", guys.
Yeah.
He's a small forward.
Yeah. Herb Jones is a good player. Really good player.
Come on. They got a Carlo Matkovic on here.
Yikes.
And he's Missy. Big,
yeah. So Eves Missy, well, is the one regular big on the roster, but we'll see how it goes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
About them.
So I like Missy as a prospect, but asking him to be your starter like right out of the gate.
What are they gonna do?
There's a reason why they've been linked to DeAndre Ayton.
Huh.
But
all right.
The Blazers want nothing to do with Brandon Ingram, so.
Oh, bring CJ back.
There's not a bridge tall enough in this all city right. for me.
Okay, well.
I don't know that. Fremont Bridge is pretty tall.
It's not tall enough. It's not tall enough. I want there to be no doubt.
All right. Danny, did you get a ticket on the way in?
Didn't get a ticket. Got a warning. Shout out warnings.
Okay.
I thought I got pulled over for.
I got a text.
Did they not notice the rope and shovel and bag of lye in your trunk?
In the trunk, baby. Look.
I got a text at 11:15. Got pulled over, running behind.
Oh,
oh boy. Oh boy.
I got.
What did you do?
My tags. My tags are no good. They've been no good for like a year. And this is not something I have actively avoided. I bought my car during COVID, and I processed the title and the registration through the bank because the DMV wasn't open
mm-hmm.
during that period.
Yep.
That bank got bought out, and my paperwork went...
They gave us a hell of a grace period for tags and stuff, too.
No, and I've been trying to find my title for like a year and a half, and I told the cop this. I'm like, look, I'll show you my phone records. I call once a month to see where it's at. And it's still, well, we're still working on it. And I was just at the DMV 2 weeks ago to get my license renewed. And I asked when I was at the DMV, I'm like, hey, does it show this, and this? And they're like, no, it's not. You can't get new tags.
So you stole a car?
Basically, yeah, nobody owns the car. But, okay. Yeah. It's just kind of like ubiquitously out there.
Boy, I'll tell you, this is the most meringue story that could possibly happen here.
But she let me off with a warning. Sweet lady.
Okay. Hey, good for you. Hey, congrats! You got away with the warning there.
She's like, "Where are you going to now? You can go to DMV right now." I'm like, "I'm on air in 40 minutes, so
I gotta move."
I'm like, "I gotta go to work."
She's like, "Oh, we meet." She's like, "I'm a radio host." She's like, "Oh, okay. Well, go. Let's get you out of here." She's really sweet.
Time to skedaddle.
I was like, "Oh, being a radio host got me out of something?"
No,
that must be Newburgh Police and not Portland.
Tigered.
Oh, okay.
Tigered.
All right. Well, hey, hopefully we picked up a new P1.
Yeah.
What's the officer's name? Do you remember?
No.
Nah, couldn't get dang.
Her. No. She, to be fair, she had her walkie over her name badge, so I couldn't really see it.
Solid. Mm. That's a good move.
It's a good move. It's like all right. But she didn't check the trunk, so joke's on you.
Seriously. Wait. You guys, can't take you anywhere, can I? All right. Well, we've got a radio program ahead for you. We will do our NBA picks. We will have those coming up today. I wanted to hold them off until, I don't know, today, so I could really get my definitive look at the Rookie of the Year, so I could make that pick. I had to see what Game 1 looked like. And I can tell you right now, it's not Bronny James.
What?
I'm pretty certain we won't see that. But he did play last night.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah. It took over the NBA, for sure, the James show. All 3 minutes of it, and it was a spectacle to behold. But it really outshined the great performance of the night. Let's start with opening night of the NBA, because the world champs stomped a hole in the New York Knickerbockers. And did we get a chance of just seeing that trade not working as a whole?
For game one?
Period? Either Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, we sportsed way too hard in that opening segment, and I feel bad. I apologize. We just barely talked about Danny's criminal mischief that he's in the middle of. I mean, come on. I don't know. Did you maybe find a hack? Or are you going to be in bigger trouble? Because the hack would be the car just doesn't exist right now, right?
It exists. Unfortunately, that VIN number makes it exist. So,
You driving a stolen car is so fitting.
It's not stolen either.
It's like in the Twilight Zone. You having a criminal car that nobody can track to who the owner is,
Super useful.
That makes so much sense.
Super useful.
It's like you got a cartel car right now. That's basically what I'm finding here.
Yeah.
You might as well just have a cartel car. All right. Last night, NBA got underway. We had a doubleheader. And the doubleheader saw the Boston Celtics mop the floor with the New York Knickerbockers, the new look Knicks. And ring night, banner night in Boston, they had a lot of juice. They had a lot of buzz in that arena.
Usually you get the letdown, though.
I was stunned at how the New York Knicks looked.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that the Tibbs has kind of built that team on, defense, gritty, cohesiveness, guys that have played together. I don't know if you can look more disjointed than a 43-point first quarter and a 74-point first half that they allowed, where, give Boston credit, they were knocking down threes all night long, but they were wide open threes.
Yeah, there's going to be, look, everybody's like, oh, you know, it's a late trade and they'll have to work some things out. I said it at the time, like, I didn't think the Knicks would do this trade because I don't think Kat's mobile enough or good enough defensively, and I hate doing this, but he doesn't have the dog.
No.
He's gone through a lot in his personal life, and I'm not saying that, and he's not tough. He's not mentally or emotionally tough. He's not gritty. And that's the thing, is that Tibbs requires of you is to be gritty and to put your body on the line and just really grind things out. And you saw that last night. The Boston Celtics absolutely mercilessly hunted him in pick and roll. And they put Cat in deep drop, And the Celtics said, oh, word? Bop, 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 and just banged threes the entire night. They hit 29 threes, NBA record 29 threes. And that was after they missed 13 straight in the game.
That is crazy.
Like they took their foot off the gas. They scored 43, 31, 39, and then 19 in the fourth. And it was like Jason Tatum was just bombing away. He was 8 of 11 from 3. Derek White was 6 of 10. Al Horford was 3 of 5. Jrue Holiday was 4 of 6. Jaylen Brown was 5 of 9. Peyton Pritchard was 1 of 9. Heaven forbid he actually hits his normal clip. I mean, this is they ring up over 30 threes. They took 61 threes.
Is that a lot?
I mean, good God. The Celtics took 17 more shots. They beat them up on the offensive glass. They turned them over. What's insane is the Celtics took that many threes, which means the ball's bouncing around a pretty significant amount of time. They had three turnovers.
That is crazy.
But that's what happens when you bring back 13 players from your title team a year ago. The flip side of this is, yes, they absolutely went bonkers, 29 of 61 from three. They only took 8 free throws in the entire game, which that's the trade-off. When you're just bombing away from three. Now, there's going to be nights where, you know, those threes don't fall and they got to turn and get downhill, but I'm pretty confident now that they're an NBA title team, they've figured out, you know, the ebb and flow of what you need to do to stay into things. But the Knicks, they got some stuff to figure out, man, because Cat's offense is useful, but they needed a guy like a lower-level offensive guy because the way you're paying Cat and the way you need to utilize him requires significantly more usage than him getting 9 shots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no doubt about it.
Like, now, the game was out of hand, and so you don't really see that many shots going up. But you've got to find a way. Because, I mean, if you're going to get killed on the other end, and Boston is the only team in the league that can do this at this level, I think, right now. But you kind of start seeing like what you need to do to beat this Knicks team. It's like, yeah, they've got Josh Hart, and yeah, they've got Ananobi, and they've got Mikal Bridges. But who do you attack? Well, you put Brunson and Cat in pick and rolls, and then you stress the defense that way.
Yeah. It was a weird look. And look, give the Celtics credit. 26 of 41, that was what their starting lineup shot from three.
Yeah.
63% from your starting lineup from three. And that is a whole lot of three-pointers. And the Knicks going to be working through some stuff. And this is kind of, remember, this is how last year started for the Knicks, right? Where people were saying, blow it up, it's not working, everybody needs to go. Mm-hmm. And then where did they end up? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they ended up making a run in the playoffs as they were beat to all hell and just scratch and clawed their way through the NBA playoffs. We'll see. Tibbs is a really good coach. I just don't know how well these pieces fit together in New York. On the flip side of that, the team that the Knicks traded with, the Minnesota Timberwolves, also great run last year. They make it to the Western Conference Finals last year. Unceremoniously thwapped by the Lakers in a game that final score indicated it was close. It didn't really seem that close as you were watching it, though. They led after the first quarter, but then the Lakers, they put their foot on the gas. In a 110-103 win, they're going to be working through the same issues that they have in New York with these new pieces that didn't fit the style that they were playing before.
Yeah, Julius Randle is just going to gum up what they have. The thing about the Cat-Gobert front court was that Cat can step out and is he's the best shooting, three-point shooting big man in NBA history. He's not the best shooting big man in history. That belongs to Dirk Nowitzki. But Cat's a 40-plus percent three-point shooter on volume. Julius Randle is not that. He's going to stop the ball, and he's going to pound it. And it's like, you already have one of those in Ant Edwards. And Ant can be a decent creator, for sure. But Jaden McDaniels is not a creator. Conley is a organizer more than anything else, and I think it's going to be super awkward. Like, you brought Dante DiVincenzo in to kind of gas your offense up, and I wonder if, number one, Father Time might have just snatched his soul, because what he doesn't do is turn the ball over. He was incredibly sloppy with the ball last night. Julius Randle's trying to figure out his spot, and you look at this game between the Timberwolves and Lakers. The Lakers shot 44% from the floor and 16% from three.
Yikes.
This wasn't a game that, like, oh, the Lakers played so well. It's like AD shot under 15%, and he had a great game as far as the box score goes, 36-16. But it was because he got to the free throw line, took 15 free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody, D'Angelo Russell was 4 of 12. Braun was 7 of 16. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. Everybody went crazy because Dalton Connect hit 2 shots last night. Like, well, oh, it's the white guys, him and Austin Reeves. Like
the whiteout in L.A.
All right, guys, he hit two shots. Let's chill.
I will. Anthony Davis, I thought, played fantastic. I mean, he did. He created and got to the line and got. It wasn't like all of them were the gimme flopping, flailing around.
No, he
free throws
it.
That he's gotten before. He earned it. 36, 16, four assists, and three blocks, too, on the defensive end. Remember, this is the same Anthony Davis that said, they don't like me. That's why I don't win Defensive Player of the Year. He played out of his gourd, and he is the guy that is going to be the engine of this Lakers team this year. And LeBron is not going to be just completely washed. But LeBron and Bronny obviously stealing all of the thunder from Anthony Davis. I just sat there and I said, yeah, this is probably not going to sit well. You know, he goes for 36 and 16, four blocks, four assists. I'm like, or three blocks, four assists. I'm going, okay. And the TNT guys even said it in the postgame. They said, you know, it kind of sucks that Bronny and Bron get the postgame interview when he played so well. And it does suck for Anthony Davis, but I hate seeing the Lakers win.
Oh yeah, nobody wants that. It's disgusting stuff. But I will say, did you see the clip that the NBA put out of LeBron James on the sideline getting ready to go in with Bronny?
Yeah, and just talking him up. That was awesome.
Did you see the intensity? Yeah. Okay. Just hey, get out there, do your thing. And it was like It was cool because it wasn't rehearsed. It wasn't canned. It wasn't the BS that we get from LeBron. You could tell Bronny was certainly nervous.
It wasn't the don't be late rook video that was totally staged.
Every bit of it was staged and recorded perfectly.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I thought it was really cool when he did get in the game. And again, this is the first time it's ever happened in the NBA. This happens in baseball because you get young prospects and guys play for 20 years. You don't get guys playing for 20 years coming in the NBA. And this is really the first like full generation of players that has like young players coming in. I'm not saying this isn't the first time, but like this is the first opportunity we've had where you look at the next couple of draft classes. There's like 15 dudes that are sons of NBA players that are coming into the league now. And that's a thing that's been there in Major League Baseball, I think, for a while. But for LeBron to get out there on the floor and to see Savannah and Bryce and everybody sitting sideline, like take all of the BS away from it, it was a cool moment.
Yeah.
It genuinely was. It was a cool moment, and I am absolutely here for that because, like, what father wouldn't want that?
Yeah, that's a really cool moment, and we saw it not rehearsed. And then did you see what happened right when Bronny did get on the floor? After LeBron gives him that, you see the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go out. Ant Edwards in his dish immediately.
He went full bulkers on him.
I love Ant Edwards, man. Yeah. I do. I love. He plays everything up. He's okay with like playing that villain role in the greatest moment that the NBA has this year of father and son playing together. He's like, nope. Welcome to the NBA. I'm not going anywhere. You're gonna have to get through me. And it did just show. Bronny has a long way to go.
Oh, he's going down to the G League immediately.
Yeah.
He's not good.
What do you think of J.J. Redick as a coach?
I want J.J. to be successful, just not with that stupid franchise.
Thank you.
They did some stuff that I thought was nice. Some pet sets to get Dalton connect the ball a few times. A couple different things to get Rui in some spots. I thought they did a decent job of letting LeBron work off ball, letting somebody else touch the ball, which I think is, if you're rooting for the Lakers, yes, you're better with LeBron James has the ball in his hands because that's what he does. But he's 40 years old, or going to be 40 here in 2 months. You can't have him monopolize the ball for 36 minutes a night and have him viable at the end of the season.
Yep.
They're probably just a play-in team, anyways, but. Like, if you want to be remotely scary, you can't have his usage rate be at, like, 28%. You just can't. So you've got to find a way to get somebody else on the ball, let other people be creators, let him work, you know, as a cutter, let him work as a screen and roll guy. Just put him in different spots where he doesn't have to monopolize the entire offense. And I think JJ's smart enough and willing enough to try some things. It was interesting. I heard Rui talking post-game about how they were going to attack Julius Randle. And he basically called Julius Randle a traffic cone. He was like, we know Julius will just stand there. So we just put a couple things in to attack the fact that he'll just stand there.
Dang.
And it was like, yo, okay.
Cold-blooded. I was like, cold-blooded.
All right. Game one, already talking all the cash ass that you can. I'm like, I'm here for this. Get mad at each other. Talk trash about each other. I think the player podcasts are going to push us to a point of like, people are going to start talking because they want content. And if that's what it takes for us to start hating each other again on the basketball court, I'm all here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it too.
I'm
all in 100%. All right, 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. We got a big injury update up north in Seattle from head coach Mike McDonald. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. All right, Coach Mike McDonald giving an update today to the injuries for the Seattle Seahawks. Boy, there's a lot of them. There's a lot
of heads are falling off.
Yeah. So Stone Forsythe up front, he won't practice today, but Abe Lucas, George Fant, they've been cleared designated for return to practice. Reek Woolen is expected to practice today, but the one that everybody's kind of been waiting on is DK Metcalf. And Mike McDonald kind of went a little bit more in depth on DK. He has a, and this is what they described, a sprained MCL, right? Doesn't seem good, especially not for a wide receiver. He's got, but they called it a minor sprain to his MCL.
Look, you don't ever sprain anything in your knee minorly.
No.
It's not something that happens.
That's like when somebody talks about minor surgery. That's surgery that happens to somebody else.
Exactly, yeah. Look, you can have a minor ankle sprain. That one you can. You can do a minor ankle sprain.
Sure.
But minor knee sprain? Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Well, he's not practicing today or tomorrow. And he's so already ruled out for tomorrow on Thursday. Mike McDonald did say, though, that he would like to see DK practice before putting him on the field. But knowing the guy that he is and the player that he is, he's going to roll with if he's good on game day, we're going to roll him out there. Yikes, dicey. And they play the Buffalo Bills this week. Probably going to be useful to have DK Metcalf out on the field, but I don't think that is the encouraging news out of this when you have DK still being out, but they're still ruling him as potentially a game day or game time decision. Look, you mentioned this yesterday, and I was really thinking about it. Like, we always talk about the most injuries that we've seen, right? And usually it's like we just all dive into one particular injury, right? Last year it was Achilles. We saw more Achilles, and it just seemed weird that so many guys were dropping with Achilles injuries. And it really wasn't as many Achilles injuries as usually happen. It wasn't like an anomaly or an outlier in any sense. It was just the names of the guys, right? When Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers go down with Achilles injuries, it was like, oh, these are guys that touch the ball every play. This year, it does seem like there is an inordinate amount of injuries to major players across the National Football League. And
seemingly like that wide receiver position.
Yeah, guys go down every year. But
you've got Godwin, who's going to have surgery on the dislocated ankle. You've got Evans with the hamstring right now. You've got Debo coming back off pneumonia. You've got Ayuk with the torn ACL. I mean, you just kind of go down the list, and you're like, this isn't just a couple wide receivers. This is some of the best. These are some of the best wide receivers in the game. And you've got Berrios out with an ACL. I mean, you just go down the list. Their wide receivers are dropping like flies right now.
And I mean, I can't, like, and again, it's not that there's an uptick in injuries. It's just the notable names, right? Maybe linemen are staying more healthy. Don't tell that to the Seattle Seahawks right now. But it does seem like I can't remember seeing this many seasons where you have, like, people posting their fantasy scores and they're like, I scored 4 points this week because literally everybody on my roster is injured.
Just brutal.
And there's, like, multiple people, and there's big names across the board. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it, but for DK and the Seahawks, it does look like he is trending more and more towards a game time decision on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Notably as well, kind of on that same line of what we've been talking about, mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk has officially been placed on the injured reserve. Well, no duh. He tore his ACL.
Yeah, that's what happens when that happens.
ACL injury, he gone. There is one guy. Do you see the starting quarterback who's making a comeback this week?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Tua.
Oh.
There is another starting quarterback in the National Football League who is making his, I will not call it triumphant return.
Mm.
The circumstance is not great either. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, he is return under center has come. Bryce Young is the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers this weekend.
It's because their other quarterback got in a freaking car accident.
Yeah. It's not anything that Andy Dalton did to lose his job. Dave Canales said that
he tried.
Dalton sprained his thumb as a result of a car accident and will be unable to play this weekend, meaning Bryce Young will be the starter against the Denver Broncos. But this is here's my thing about what is going on in Carolina. What is it hurting to have Bryce Young out there? Are they going to win any more games?
No.
No,
I'm with you in a general sense of like, sure, play him, but I wonder if number one, you're gonna David Carr him and just get him murdered back there, and yeah. he has zero chance of ever being functional.
Yeah.
The other part of this is, and it seems to kind of be the underlying current of all of this, it very much seems like he has completely and totally lost the locker room. I've talked to a few people out in Charlotte, and they've all been like, yeah, it's. And you get that look, and you get the eyebrows up, and it's like...
Look, it doesn't matter, though, because, look, that locker room and Bryce Young losing that locker room, Andy Dalton has lost. They beat the Raiders, but then have lost by 10, 16, 18, 33. It's not like he is the issue going on with the Carolina Panthers. Their issues run far deeper than just Bryce Young. And he's not going to be, I mean, he's not going to play well. We know that. But Andy Dalton, he threw an interception on pick six on the first drive of this game last week against Washington. I mean, he spotted the Commanders 7 points right off the bat. And it's not like Bryce Young gave up 47 points to the New Orleans Saints in week one. He only scored 10, but he didn't give up 47. Like, they are just a bad football team. And that is dark what's going on in Carolina right now.
No, we've kind of beat this dead horse over and over again. This might be the worst football team we've ever seen. And if you're saying that he's lost the locker room.
They won a game, though.
Yeah.
They won a game.
Is that helping them?
No, but they won a game.
You can say you're not the worst record team in the league. That's right. It's like being like the Miami Dolphins and popping a bottle every time somebody wins a game. You won one.
When we're talking about, though, like the worst team we've ever seen, like at least they can hang their hat on that, right? Like at least they can hang their hat on that. Now, look, as a New England Patriots fan and sitting there, that win, that's great because if New England gets the number one overall pick because they win a game and then lose 16 in a row, that's going to be the team that wants to trade up. That means more value for that number one pick. Let's go. But Carolina, if it's not Carolina, then who is the worst team in the NFL right now? New England? Cleveland?
Yeah.
We look at Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Because they actually have talented players.
And it's just broken.
They're bad.
Yeah.
Jags at least kind of got off the schneid.
Yeah, and I think you can kind of rationalize some stuff there. It doesn't make sense. But there's a there's a different level of stink.
Yeah, there is
coming out of Carolina. And it's not just the roster, it's the front office, it's ownership, it's there's
that they traded a boatload to be this bad, and then they traded their best player in Brian Burns
for nothing.
Essentially nothing.
For nothing. When they could have gotten two first, they literally 6 months before they had an offer for two first round picks.
Yeah.
That's the insane part of this, is like, you knew what you were then. But it's like, it's to me, it's fickle ownership, and it's not even just meddling ownership. David Tepper is very clearly trying to do the thing that newish owners do in sports, but taking it to another level. And you see this happen pretty regularly. Every time somebody comes in, they make a splash. They know more than everybody else, and that's why they're going to do things differently. Mm-hmm. But they don't ever defer. Eventually they all end up deferring, and you saw it with, you know, Tommy Boy down in Houston. They bring in what's his name from the Patriots, who's the GM that they brought
Nick
over?
Casario.
Thank you.
Yep.
They bring in Casario, and instead of being a meddling owner, they step to the side and go, all right, we've kind of not done well, so we're going to hire the coach, and then we're going to hire you, and then you guys just kind of football this thing up and see where we get. And that turns into Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And, you know, I mean, you just kind of go down the list, and all of a sudden stuff starts making significantly more sense. And I just don't think that – number one, I was never a Bryce Young guy, and maybe this is confirmation bias. I guess play him, because maybe it becomes mildly redemptive. And even if he's not your guy going forward, you can attempt to trade him and get something out of him. You can Trey Lance him, where you get maybe a fourth or a fifth round pick out of him. But I don't
think you're going to get that, man.
Like anything can happen. In your head, though, Dusty, is there a way that he can be redemptive in any way? Like, do you see him ever becoming a average level quarterback in the NFL? And I know it's insane to say a year plus in.
You can. He can be like an average level quarterback. He's never going to be worthy of the top pick. I mean, he could be. And look, we've seen a lot of these guys come in bad situation, horrible culture too.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at last year with a void of weapons and guys to throw the ball to, and I mean, they depleted every resource around him and were like, be good. And he's not that guy, and he never will be that guy. But if he gets in a good system with weapons around, he's a guy that needs everything around him, mm-hmm. right?
It has to be perfect.
Everything around him. And you can get to an average level player, because, I mean, just think of, I think I look back and, like, Sam Darnold had all of the measurables coming out of USC, and everybody loves Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
But even he got to the Jets, and, you know, he was seeing ghosts, and people were just saying he's never going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Well, he has a wealth of talent around him, really good coach, very solid culture, an amazing defense. And look, he's even been doing it without a majority of his weapons for the better part of this season too, right? With the TJ Hockenson being dinged up, with Jordan Addison being dinged up. And he has been a well above an average replacement. And that was a guy who had all of the measurables to be elite coming out of college and into the NFL. Went to a dumpster fire and got out of there. Went to another dumpster fire, being Carolina. Got out of there, and all of a sudden he is playing far better than an average quarterback.
Yeah.
For Bryce Young, and as bad as he looks, without the measurables that a guy like Sam Darnold has, if he goes to the right place, the right culture, has enough weapons, he could be a replacement level quarterback.
And that's where the thing is, like,
but that's it.
Even then, it's like he has so many things to overcome just to get to that level, and it's just. I don't wish it on the kid. I genuinely don't. Like, I have no reason to not like the guy. It's not he's like he's a bad kid or anything like that. It's just he didn't have the arm strength. He didn't have the size. He didn't have, like, he's a good athlete, not great. Like, I don't see it. And you put him in that situation, man, and
it's brutal.
It's hard to even see him, like, if you put him a team with all the weapons to be like, yeah, no, I like if you Baker Mayfielded him, like if you sent him down to Tampa with a bunch of weapons, like Baker had. Or has, like, a better arm and has more mobility and has, you know, more consistency. And he's a guy who's on the smaller side. And even with him, you're just like, Yeah, no, he's above average. He's a good quarterback. I mean, last year, we've talked about it. He was a top 10 quarterback.
Yep.
There's just no path for that for Bryce. But go out there and make me shut up. Go out there and be the greatest small quarterback that's ever been. Be fun.
Go do cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think Kyler Murray, watching him play, like, being short doesn't matter, but you have to have, like, Kyler Murray is, he's built like a little fire hydrant and has got wheels on him.
Yeah, and he also has an absolute howitzer attached to his shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young doesn't have that.
No.
And that sucks. It sucks he's been put in this position. Nobody forced anybody to draft him, you know, number one overall.
Or to trade up for him.
Yeah. Nobody forced that on Bryce Young. But that's why I liked C.J. Stroud better than Bryce Young coming out, too, though, right? Like, C.J. Stroud, he had the tangibles.
Yeah.
And it turns out he has the intangibles as well. This is getting worse and worse by the day. But Bryce Young going to be back starting for the Carolina Panthers. We do have the three-peat is on, my friend. I know this is not what you wanted to hear. Mm. The three-peat is on, gross. And in a big, big way. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.